It is so good to be with all of you. Cornerstone Family Online, thank you for being a part. I want to encourage you, this isn't going to be time just to watch, but really enter in. And we're going to watch TV, obviously, this morning. Sorry, Stephen, I don't know what I did wrong. Let's say thank you to Stephen Allen, who always saves the day. Thank you, Stephen. So we're going to be in Jeremiah 7:24, and that's going to be kind of our theme text for today as that gets all set up. I do want to say a big thank you to Andrew Ray, a big thank you to Margot Reese, and for Brett Deal. The Word of God has been rich among us these last few weeks, and so I'm so grateful for each of you, and we have a really wonderful church family. So here's the title of my message this morning. Can you just say amen to that statement right there? Amen. We need more. We must have God's presence. We must have it. We must have it. And like every song really said, more than ever before. You know, my role as pastor of this church is I'm kind of the spiritual dad of the church. Okay, that's kind of my job. I'm a spiritual dad, and I'm watching over our family, and I'm trying to reflect the father heart of God to us. And when you're a dad, there are things you do to help your family continue to be ready for what's next. My daughter Melody is heading off to college this Wednesday, back to Lee, and then my other daughter Kate is going to be heading in a few weeks. And so my job as a dad is to help them be ready to continue, as many of the songs we sang this morning said, to move forward. And one of the unique parts about being a dad is I actually have to help them do things that are hard and prepare to face fears. You know, there's college is this time where there's this idea of, well, you know, I'm excited about it, but there's some fears I have to face and some new things I have to learn. And there's this idea as a dad that I've got to do my part. And really, we all know the truth is my wife is the one who accomplishes this. We need to make sure they bring what they need, right? And that is definitely more my wife's role than I, as she's the one who keeps us all together. But there's this idea as a spiritual parent that I need to help my family members have what they need to move forward. Well, because change isn't easy, right? Well, life's changing, isn't it? And God's plan is so clearly every week, the Lord specifically been bringing a word that he's not taking us back, he's moving us forward. And so we're kind of like those kids who have to go into the unknown, maybe go to college for the first time or face that new experience. And the Father in heaven is wanting to make sure that we have what we need. We've got to bring the right things. And the thing we've got to bring more than anything else is his presence in a brand new way. And I you probably know this, but I want to ask you, when's the last time you've really recognized this in your own heart, that God's presence dwelling with us is the purpose. It's why we were created, and it's what brings him the ultimate glory. It's his presence dwelling among us. God created the Garden of Eden so that he could dwell with us. We were meant to be in his presence. The whole idea of the sanctuary and the tabernacle, God, let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell with them. Jesus comes and he is Emmanuel, which is God with us. He's dwelling with us. The end of time in the book of Revelation, the end, the resolution of it all is the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. God hates sin because it is against us being together. It's against his presence with us, and he's our oxygen. He's our living water. We must have his presence. And yet we're about to enter into a series of stories this week as we're reading through the Old Testament. We're about to read a category of stories called the Fall of Israel. It's about the loss of God's presence, how it starts in small ways but ends up destroying an entire nation. We're going to read about David and Bathsheba, about David getting distracted by his success and some of his accomplishment. He's starting to not focus on the presence of God. We're going to read about Solomon, who builds this amazing temple that's supposed to be the experience of God's presence there, but God's presence isn't in their hearts or in their homes, so it doesn't matter that it's the most incredible building in honor of him ever. We're going to read about Elijah and the prophets of Baal and this story of the prophets who are saying, you're still doing religious things, but you don't know me anymore. And we're going to read on Friday about the fall of Jerusalem, about its destruction. And one of the key points is that the temple gets destroyed. Why? Because God's not even there anyway. It's just like there's no point to that place anymore. Because it's about his presence. And there's this passage in Jeremiah 7:24 that was this reminder to me. It's kind of this summary of what happened to Israel. And I think it's incredibly important for us to hear, and we're just going to break this one verse down for the rest of our time together. But I want you to hear this. As a matter of fact, if you can read it, I want you to read it out loud with me. You can do that at home this morning as well. All right, let's read this together. They did not listen to my voice or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclinations of their evil hearts. They went backward and not forward. Wow. This is the summary of how God sees the fall of a nation. This is the summary about how God sees how people end up in misery and families end up broken. He's like, look, you're listening to lots of voices, but not mine. Sometimes I'm in the room with you, but you're not paying attention. And I think maybe all of us can admit we're a little stubborn, right? Just a little bit. If you're really stubborn, you won't raise your hand, so I can't cause you to indicate it. And so what we want to look at today is we just want to look at what God says. Because this is us today. This is our nation today. And we've got to hear the joy of returning to the Father, who's got all we need. But we've got to spend time in his presence. We must have his presence. So we're just going to look at how do we lose God's presence. We're just going to look what it says in that verse. And then, and this is really important, I feel like the Lord's shown me why it's never been more important. And I'm going to share with you what the Lord shared with me about what's coming up in our country and what it means to be the church and to follow him. And so I hope that really, again, you're not just watching online, you're entering in with us this morning. Okay? How do we lose God's presence? First, this passage says, the people did not listen to my voice. It's not saying that they're not listening to voices, just not his. Right? And that's a really strong temptation in the world we're living in. See, the world is changing rapidly. And we're just too weary and distracted. That's how we lose his presence. Now, it's interesting because we're listening to voices that are talking about his voice. And we're trying to figure out how God and knowing God and loving him works in a rapidly changing world that's wearing us out. But we're not actually in his presence. And there's a world of difference. All right? Now, I don't need to be a prophet to know that we're all tired of all the change. It's just change is rapidly happening right now. And we've lost so much. And it's just tiring people out, right? You're just weary and just normal. We've lost what normal is. We've lost our sense of health. We've lost our sense of what our country is. We've lost our sense of how society thinks and how it treats us of faith. And there's just so much going on. And most people are just plain old tired. And if you can muster up an amen, just say it. Okay, just say amen. You know, just weary amen, all right? And there's this, and it's just, there doesn't seem to be this, oh, but by the way, it's going to end real soon. And so we're just tired. And what happens, though, is when we get tired and weary and distracted, we stop growing. We stop growing and we stop moving because God's presence is moving in the midst of this. And we tend to, he starts moving and we don't realize he's moved. Because we're busy and we got lots of voices going on and we're listening to a lot of voices, but we're not listening to his. And what we need to return to is we've got to return to the scripture. This is, we can't fake it till we make it with this right now. Not going to happen. There's no place to hide right now. We need something to renew us and give us energy again and build up our faith. And it's this word right here. Hebrews 4, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. That word is alive because God is speaking through it. When we get with a true heart into the word of God, we get into his presence. And you know, as a dad, there are things as my children are growing up that I've already gotten ready for. My girls are going to college, and I'm sure when they first started thinking about going to college, like, well, that's a big bill, and how do we do this? And now it's like, and you know, and there's sure all these ways, everything's changed. It's like, but they just need to come to dad, and dad's like, well, actually, I've been planning this for a long time for you. So I've actually got an answer for you, but you just need to come into my presence and hear what I've already prepared for you. And see, we're in this change, and we're seeing these giant just costs that are coming, the price that's going to be paid in so many different ways living in this world. And we need to get into the Father's presence who says, I've already planned for all these things. I've got you. I've already got all the answers. I've already made a way and paid the price for everything that's going to ask a cost of you. So we've got to return there. And as we return there, the beauty, you know, Jeremiah 7:24 is about what happens when God's people are forgetting him. Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Can I get an amen on this one? All right, this is like when I get in the Word, this is what the Lord does. This is getting into the Father's presence. And so we've got to come back to his Word in a way like never before, because we must have his presence. We must hear him speak. And we don't want the world shaping who he is. We want this to shape us to understand who he really is. So that's first. It also says in Jeremiah 7:24, it says, you did not pay attention. Ever been in the room with someone and you can tell they're not paying attention with you, at you, you know? You ever been there? Yeah, because someone can be there, but we're not paying attention. And look, we've got this world that's changing. We've got a sinful nature. I mean, if the world wasn't changing, we'd still have so many problems to solve because we're working ourselves out, right? There's just, this thing is not neat and clean. Family is not neat and clean. All right? We have so many problems to solve, and this is important. We're too afraid to slow down. Because I got an answer. I need an answer. I need it yesterday. Because I'm already drowning, and I've got to figure out what I'm doing. And there's this sense of fearful busyness in our lives right now. And the more the world changes, and the more we listen to all the voices, the more we speed up. Because we better, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to answer this? Now this too, I need to answer. And there's just this frantic chaos of fear and busyness that the world is trying to fill us up with. And the awful consequences of fear and busyness are this. The more we're afraid, the more we hurt people without realizing it. As you think about that. When you're so caught up in your fear, you don't realize what you're doing to the people around you. That's why God says, never have a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Fear creates a blindness, and we're doing things we don't even realize we're doing to the people around us. And then busyness. You know, busyness is, the awful thing about busyness is it causes us to neglect what's most important, right? So I've spent a good amount of money trying to make my lawn not look like the curse of sin, okay? I've just tried. And I've actually succeeded, but then guess what happens? I get a little busy. And just because I'm busy, my lawn doesn't go, oh, you're busy, the weeds won't grow. See, the weeds showing up in my yard are not a reflection of what that grass could be, that lawn could be. It's a reflection of my busyness. Because things grow when you're busy. The wrong things grow when you're busy. Boy, it takes a lot of work to get the right stuff to grow. Don't take nothing to get the wrong stuff to grow. Because that's the world we live in. Right? So my busyness is what's happening is, and I've told Caleb, like, we need to get some weed killer on that stuff. And we've said it for about 2 weeks. Have I done it? Nope. Have the weeds decided to take a break because I'm busy? Nope. And we're in this place where the world and everything going on and our own fears are just, I gotta do. It speeds us up, but what we really need is to slow down. And church, just because the world changes doesn't mean God's word has changed. Sabbath's still the Sabbath. That's time in God's presence. Spending time with the Father. I want us to hear us. I think we've forgotten about this one. And I think what's happened too is even this challenge of being online, now it's just kind of like, well, my day's still the same, but I'm going to try to watch church. No. That's not the Sabbath. Now, you can do this at home. You can do this here. Just because you're here doesn't mean if you go and just are also busy. Like, it's an attitude. It's a heart thing. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath for you to rest. Nope. The seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. It's His. It's a day where we realign with His presence. We make sure that something hasn't, weeds weren't paying attention, but over this week, all of a sudden, I didn't recognize the weeds that grew. Sabbath, oh, whoa, God, where'd I go? Father, I'm so sorry. Now, Sabbath principle is not just one day a week, it's actually every day. It's where we get the principle of the first. The first of everything is first your presence. My day, my conversations, my money, my relationships. But we've got to remember this because we're losing this. And this world is saying, no, come on, quick, fix stuff. Now things are changing. It's like, wait, no. You know, there are times, again, with my family, and you've done this. You haven't talked to a family member for a while, and maybe something got unsaid or there's a little insecurity. And so you go like a whole week thinking that your family member's thinking this way. And then you just get together with them and you're like, oh. But isolation builds this mistrust. Isolation builds this formation of the other person in my own image instead of the image of God. And we've got to get back to the point of, Lord, I need Sabbath in my life. Because it's about spending time. A week of disappointment, a week of hurt. My father doesn't care. He doesn't, okay, Sabbath. Oh, wait a minute. Of course he cares. Of course he's with me. He hasn't changed since last week. I've gone, he hasn't changed at all. He's still faithful. And I just remember this idea of Jesus. I just saw this scripture, Jesus looking at Jerusalem. It's busy. It can't slow down. It's got all its religious rituals happening, but there's no sense of real Sabbath in it. And what does Jesus say? How often I have longed to gather your children together. Come on, family, let's be together. But you were not willing. Why were you not willing? Because this house is a mess and this has got to take care of. But now look, your house is left to you desolate. for the sake of doing the one thing you thought would take care of it, you've missed the one thing that has the answer. So we got to return to the Sabbath. And then finally, and I tell you what, man, this is important. It's good to read the Bible and remember that you're stubborn. This is a good reminder, right? It's like, oh yeah, I need to check my attitude a little bit. Last time I checked, I am not God. Like, it's not like my way or the highway, all right? God brings conviction, and we're too proud to submit. Because Jeremiah 7:24, the stubborn inclinations of their evil hearts. Just, I want to do things my way. Now, it's interesting, because that's the same thing that was going on in Jesus' day. We said, man, I was trying to gather you together, but man, you were not willing. Now, those were religious people. Those were people who were saying, I'm talking to God every day. Every day I'm offering a sacrifice. But there's this twist that can happen that pride blinds us to, where we start becoming God and he starts to become the servant. I'm telling you what, there's a lot of American Christianity that's saying this right now. God, either solve my problem my way or leave me alone. We got to be careful of that in our hearts. Because that's a stubborn, prideful heart. That word submit right now, that ain't a popular word. Submit? Man, that's an evil word in our society today. Now, our society has a few reasons to think that. Because a lot have been unhealthy, ungodly things happening. But be careful you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater on that one. Because this idea of submit is there's an authority I trust. And God asks us to submit. We got to be careful that what we call independence, God doesn't call rebellion. Because it's not do it my way or get away from me. Man, think about your prayers. We've all got this in us, right? We've all got this ability like, all right, God, well, I'm forget it. We got to be careful about this one. That's pride. That's pride, my way, or just leave me alone, God, and I'll figure it out. That's pride right there. And here's the real answer. God, I want you more than your blessings or my answers. That's humility. All right, God, so be it. Not my will, but yours be done. That's the heart God responds to right there. That's him being God and us not being God. And there's a part of us, we've got to really do a gut check these days, because we are living in a society that is shaping our pride and building it up when we don't even realize it's happening anymore. But God resists the proud. So we just got to get down there a little bit. We got to, if the Sabbath is about slowing down, and if reading the Word's about growing up, then this is about getting low. We got to get a little lower than we've been. Because God's going to be faithful. He's always faithful. He's always good. It's interesting, though. It's like, well, if pride is a blinder, then how do you ever know if you've got it? That's pretty easy. And the Bible actually links humility with God with humility with others. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Next words, brothers, do not slander one another. See, there's this connection between my humility with God's people and my humility with God. Actually, my humility, the way, my pride, my nature of my relationship with God's people is a reflection of how my pride is doing with God. So if you want to know, it's like, if you want to know how you're doing truly, because right, you know, like I can be with God and think all the things I want, and I can even be saying a little bit of like, God, my way or the highway to you and not even realize it. And then when I get relationship with people, and they're not acting the way I want, and they're talking back, then I see where I'm really at. I mean, 1 John 4:20 through 21, for anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And Jesus has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's just how it's built. And the quality of our relationship with our brothers and sisters is the exact revelation of our pride or humility with God. So I want to encourage you. That's what we need is we need Sabbath, we need his word, and we need God's people. And whatever that looks like in these days, we've got to still be the church together. So I want to offer you, I want to offer you a way to remind yourself of this. Because in the end, the enemy, how do we lose his presence? Busyness, weariness, and stubbornness. So last week, Brett did the onion, the baseball, and the vinyl covers. We're going to do a little different so it won't smell in your house. Everybody's got this dining room table or this kitchen table, and usually in the middle of that table is kind of like a centerpiece, right? There's just, usually you put something there, and that's kind of how you function. And Stanley, if you'd come up, thank you. So here's what I want to challenge you to do, and I'm asking everybody at home to do this, because this is about God's presence in our church, God gathering us together as a church family. This is also about God's presence in our homes. About really welcoming presence in this home. I'm telling you what, if I could say this, counseling is a very good thing. But if you don't have the presence of God in your home, you'll never have peace in that family. I'm asking you to write out the names of 10 people in your church family and put some leadership on there because they need your prayers. And I'm asking you to put that Bible in the center of either your dining room or kitchen room table. And whether you want to put it to Jeremiah 7:24, whether you want to put it to Deuteronomy 31:8, or as we're going to read at the end, Zephaniah 3:17, I want you to open it up, put a bookmark there, and then on top of it, I want you to put that watch or that clock. And I also want you to put that prayer list. And I want it to this week be a reminder that God's time, your time is God's. That your word is what you need. And that church family is a key part of keeping you close to God's presence. So pray for them. So that's what I'm asking you to do this week. A Bible, some kind of time device, and a visible list of 10 people from your church family. Put it either on your dining room table or your kitchen table and put it right in the center and look at it every day. Say, God, we need your presence in this home. We need your presence in this home. We can't go on without you. And here's why I think, I just said how we were going to talk about how we lose God's presence, and then the last one, and this is where, as a shepherd of this congregation, I want to speak what I sense the Lord is saying. But, you know, his presence and his return, it's coming closer. And God's presence is pressing on America to make it make a choice. And I don't know what your thought is, but I don't think it's choosing right. And so we're going to need his presence more than ever before. So it was probably about 10 months ago. I handed out a t-shirt. Some of you have it on today. Said, now is the time. That was 10, 11 months ago. And what I did in that moment was I shared, hey, I've been praying, and as I'm looking over 2019 to 2020, the Lord is giving me this word, now is the time. And here's what I said 10 months ago. I said, what the Lord is speaking to me is that this year, between now and the next election in November 2020, there is going to be a drastic shift. And if you have not truly made the decision to follow the Lord with all your heart, you're about to get chewed up and spit out by this world. Your faith is going to get devoured. And I said that through the Lord. The Lord said through me, I should say, about 10, 11 months. And I said by the, and this is what I said 10 months ago. The last election gave hate culture a seat at the table. It also said it just became acceptable in the highest levels of our government to speak publicly with that concept, right? Just that election cycle, everything. I said, by the time we get to November 2020, the hate culture is not going to be a part of the conversation. It's going to be the conversation. It is not going to be permissible in the culture. It will be our American culture. And I defined it, I said this 11 months ago, said, here's how I define a hate culture. If you don't hate who I hate, then I hate you. That's what the Lord spoke 11, 12 months ago.
that I share with you, the reason you're wearing that t-shirt is that's what that word is about. And I think we've seen that happen pretty clearly. Even in churches, if you don't hate who I hate, then I hate you. So here we are, and the Lord's starting to speak to me again. Say, Sean, here's what's coming. So I'm just submitting this to you. You've got to weigh this word. But as the shepherd of this church, this is how I'm going to shepherd our church. So what the Lord's shown me is over the next few months, we're going to be at a low boil. And then, obviously, it doesn't take too much prophetic insight to know what's going to happen in this next election. And most likely, either candidate, but especially if the current president continues, you're going to see more riots coming up after that election. Most likely either, I'm saying definitely with one. And what's going to happen is this full-blown idea of mistrust, of destabilization, it's going to play out through our cities. It's going to play out in our communities. It's pounding at the door of every church. And what I believe the Lord showed me, and again, common biblical sense as well as time in the Lord's presence, is that 2021 is going to bring a response by the federal government in order to say, okay, let's calm everybody down. Let's make sure. And what's probably going to happen in 2021, I think the Lord showed me, is 2021, there's going to be a move of anti-hate legislation that's going to get passed in the federal government because of like, okay, everybody, don't worry. We're not going to let anybody, you know. And so what the government's going to do is it's going to pass some more legislation. It's going to be hate laws. But what a hate culture is going to do with that is going to actually, it's going to be the legalized foothold of persecution for the American church. So I believe that's what's coming in 2021 for the American church. Now, here's the beautiful news of it. Persecution always grows the church. Persecution always purges the church and makes it what it should be. Persecution always helps the church become what it was supposed to be all along, but got distracted by the success or the comfort levels. So I don't see this as a negative word. I see over that course of that 2021 into 22, I see the Lord bringing great revival through the church to America. And that's what I believe the Lord's going to do. The only thing is, you're not going to fake it till you make it, right? We need his presence, and we need to be a church, and we need to encourage other Christians. Let's make sure we are unified and make sure in us are the presence of God is there, the word, the Sabbath, God's people. Let's be in his presence, and if we're in his presence, we have nothing to fear but everything to gain because we want it to be about his glory. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. It's called a dad who loves his kids. Come on. I'm with you. I'm proud of you. I love you. I know you're not. I've got grace here. Zephaniah 3, I've removed your enemies. Come on, I've forgiven your sin. But this is about I'm with you. This is about his presence. If you're weary today, his presence, in your presence is fullness of joy and life forevermore, right? At your right hand. It's his presence. It's his presence. If so many voices are coming into your life, man, it is time to get to this voice. Because sometimes your dad has to help your kids get ready to face the unknown. Sometimes the dad has to say, hey, don't fear. This is about a good future. This is about what you need. And our Heavenly Father is doing the same thing. Come on, come back to my presence. We must have his presence. 1 Corinthians 3:6. Don't you know that you are a temple of God's presence. Ephesians, together you are living stones put together to be a place of his presence. And one day the presence of God rules over this earth again. Heaven is the beauty of his presence and hell is the absence of his presence. That's what we're made for. So church family online and here, at your dining room table this week, an open Bible, something that tells time, and the names of your church family. Say, Lord, I want to stay in your presence. I don't want to lose that in my life. I'm going to ask now, for those of you here, if you would stand with me for a few moments. I'm going to ask online. I know it's challenging being online and not getting pulled by many things, but again, online. God's presence is all about where you are right now. All about your home. David was the king, and he saw God's presence give him the nations, and he forgot about his own home. Solomon did all this great work and built this great temple, and his presence fled from his own life as he began to worship other gods. Elijah calls God's people, how long are you going to vacillate between who you're serving? Come on. There's only one who answers by fire. But you got to be willing to call out to him. And so I'm going to ask today, that as Stanley leads us in some worship about his presence, that let's slow down. Let's grow up a little bit. And let's get low. Let's get low and just say, Lord, have your way. And I'm going to encourage you online or here, if this isn't Christianity to you, then this is your day of your salvation. Because Christ gave his life on the cross. Christ experienced the separation from the presence of God on the cross when he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? He took the punishment of sin, which is the separation from the presence of God, so that you and I could have it again. And if that's not Christianity to you today, today's your day of salvation. Lord, I want your presence in my life. Forgive me of my sin and dwell with me. Be my breath, be oxygen to me. That's Christianity. I'm going to ask wherever the Lord is placing just a conviction on your heart today, would you humbly lift some hands to the Lord? Have your way among us, Father. And I'm just going to ask Stanley to lead us in a few moments of worship. I'm going to get off the stage because it's just about his presence. And when we're finished, Pastor Brian will come and just close us out. Lord, forgive us, renew us. I pray right now for brokenness of any spirit of weariness. I pray against the spirit of depression and discouragement. In the name of Jesus, by the word of God and by the power of the Spirit, be healed in Jesus' name and cause us to be prepared to walk into a new season with your presence, knowing we have everything we need when we have your presence. Church family, would you just press in? Stanley, would you lead us?